Good evening, everyone. My name is Joey Hobby, and I'm an incoming sophomore this year at Harding University. And as school begins in about a week, I've been reflecting a lot about this past year. Looking back, I think about the people that I've been privileged enough to meet. I think about the relationships that have been formed with that. I think about the classes, some easy, some extremely hard. I think about the long hours in the library, doing assignments and studying for numerous and numerous and numerous tests. But most of all, I think about the amount that my faith has grown in this last year. This last year, I have found myself with the college group at the College Church of Christ in Searcy. Our theme these last two semesters was GC5. I had about 10 people come up to me, ask me what GC5 is, and now is the time where you get to find out. But before we get there, I'd like to ask the question of, what is a disciple? Now, a disciple is a man or a woman who is consistently operating under the rule of Jesus. So now that we know that, what is GC5? Well, the gospel of Christ gives us a great calling, which requires a great commitment to the great commands and the great commission. So tonight, my goal is to be able to break this statement down so that we can understand it a little better. So to start off, the gospel of Christ. The gospel, or the good news, is the message that we have been given so that we can understand Jesus better. So Paul gives us an example of this good news in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, where he says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." So what does that mean to us? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, a perfect man, for our sins. He was then put in a tomb where he laid for 3 days. But we know on that third day, he was resurrected, defeating death. It is because of this that we now have our hope, our gospel. Our second GC is what we call the great calling. We see an example of this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. When Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Our calling can be found in verse 19. I'll read it again. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Our calling is to go and make disciples. But what does that look like for us today? Well, it was in the same set of verses that we just read. The first thing that we need to do is go. We tend to doubt in the Lord whether we realize it or not. It is even said in verse 17 that there were people in the presence of the risen Lord that still doubted, but they were still the same people there worshiping him. The story of Job is a great example for us to look at. Job was a prosperous man who faced many, many hardships. When we read the story of Job, it's easy for us to think that, oh, God was with him the whole time, and it was just the devil trying to be better than God in that aspect. But that's because we have the background information in that. When Job was going throughout his life, he had no idea that any of that was happening. But Job still had faith. Job's faith never wavered. That's what we can take from Job, is that Job never wavered in his faith. He remained faithful. The next thing that we need to do in our discipleship journey is to decide, wherever I go, I will make disciples. Acts 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit comes onto you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is calling his disciples witnesses that will receive power from the Holy Spirit to help lead them to make new disciples, to lead them in their everyday life, to lead them no matter what. But what's the difference between them and us? We are still witnesses of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit. It's everywhere around us. And I feel like that's very important for us to be able to grasp a hold of. The third step is to make that decision. We need to baptize them. We see an example of this in Acts 2, verse 41. It says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." We should make that our goal, to add numbers. We do make that our goal, to add people into our number each and every day. But that's not the end of it, though. We don't just baptize people and leave them. Our next step is that we must teach them what Jesus has commanded us and teach them how to obey and to be an example of what Jesus has commanded us. James 1:22, it's a very common verse. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We not only have to know what we have to do, but we have to act in that. We have to do it. God gives us commands, and it would be wrong for us not to obey those commands. It is our job to be able to go and teach these commands to other people and teach and be an example on how to obey those commands. The fifth and final step to that is that we must trust in God to be with us always. One of my favorite verses, Deuteronomy 31:6, tells us, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." There are many times, whether we realize or not, that we might doubt God's presence in our lives. But we must then build our faith so that when that doubt comes, that we can fight it. We must build our faith enough that when the devil comes into our minds, that we can stand firm, as Paul would say. That's very important for us, to make sure that our faith stands firm. Our third GC, going back to that, is the Great Commitment. This brings up the question of, what are we committed to? Well, Romans 12, verses 9 and 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." So we just need to remember that we must be devoted to one another. We must meet together. We must all gather together so that we can thrive off of each other. Acts 2:42 tells us, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." What we can take away from this is that God is telling us that we must commit ourselves to each other. We must commit ourselves to the teaching of the apostles and to of Jesus. That is what we must commit ourselves to, because that's what they command us to do. But that brings us to our fourth GC, which is the Great Commands. The Great Commands are what Jesus in the Bible tells us to do. Mark 12, 28 through 31 tells us what Jesus says the greatest commands are. It says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' Jesus answered, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandments than these." The Bible is a book that we have been given to live our lives by. It's a rule book, so to say. If we live our lives like the church in Acts 2:42 did, by relying on each other and of God, then our relationships would be a lot better. We must first build our relationships with God, And then off of those relationships with God, build our relationships with each other. That will allow for a strong foundation. Our fifth and final GC is the Great Commission, which is what we've been looking at pretty much this whole time. Jesus gives his trust into the disciples to go and spread the word of God. Now that he has ascended into heaven, what is keeping us from trusting in Jesus and living our lives the way he commands us? I don't know about you, but I want to see heaven full. I want to see everybody in this room and everybody outside this room together worshiping God in heaven. What a sight that will be. We just need to remember that we must rely on God and we must rely on each other to get there. Tonight, we've been studying the idea of GC5, which says that the gospel of Christ gives us a great calling, which requires a great commitment to the great commands and the great commission. If we as Christians are to live our lives by this idea of GC5, how much better could our world be today? If we all work together, put our love for God as one and work together, how much greater could we be? Put all of our differences aside. We must go, and wherever we go, we must make disciples. And when we make those disciples, we need to help them to make that decision to baptize them. We know it doesn't end there, though. We must then teach them what Jesus has commanded and then teach an example on how we should live because of those commandments. And then the most important thing is to remember that he is with us always. If there's any way that we can help you tonight to pray for you or to talk with you, or if you desire to make that decision, we begin by putting our faith in Jesus, confessing him as Lord. And when we get baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, perhaps you are ready to begin this journey of becoming a disciple or continuing that journey to make more disciples. Won't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?